So before this episode of Hallowed Histories, I'd like to invite you to join us for a Christmas ghost story. This year, we're hosting a screening of A Pleasant Terror, The Life and Ghosts of M.R. James, a documentary chronicling the life and career of England's premier master of the ghost story, Montagu Rhodes James. Joining me after the screening for a roundtable discussion will be the author of Ghostland, Edward Parnell, as well as the director, producer and co-writer of the documentary, Clive Dunn. It should be a great night, and you can get a free ticket for this event using the link attached to this episode or by Googling Eventbrite and Hallowed Histories. And now, today's episode. Bawley Rectory, a modest-looking house in the Essex Heartlands, provides one of the most complex, notorious and baffling cases of haunting in the 20th century, a reputation that was and continues to be handed down in local folklore. It was known as the most haunted house in England, the scene of unrivaled paranormal activity even before its construction in 1863, and well after its destruction by fire in February 1939. Ghostly phenomena reported at Bawley Rectory included such classic apparitions of a nun, a phantom coach and horses in the grounds, a headless man and a spectral cat. The sounds of bell ringing, footsteps, galloping horses and disembodied voices were also heard. Bawley Rectory, when one delves into the many books, articles and films dealing with the subject, could often seem like a game of paranormal bingo, with all the expected hauntings and no cliché unearthed and thrown at the rectory walls. Such events also included poltergeist incidents and penciled wall writings calling for help, calling for light, calling for mass, calling for prayers, adding a layer of religious pathos to one of the great haunted house yarns. In this episode, we're going to be looking at one of the most famous haunted houses in the world, made all the more chilling for its influence and effect on a world always hungry for tales of existence continuing on long after death. My name is Richard Shepherd, and this is Hallowed Histories. Five successive rectors and their families claim to have experienced a wide range of ghosts and poltergeist phenomena in and around the rectory, along with the locals, visitors and investigators who were attracted to the site. It has been claimed that in excess of 200 people witnessed strange events in and around the rectory over the years. Spurred by such stories, a psychical researcher named Harry Price, who, like the rectory, has established a mythology of his own, noted that some of the most extraordinary things he'd ever witnessed were happening there. The rectory's national and international fame largely stems from an article written about the rectory and published in the Daily Mirror newspaper in 1929, as well as two best-selling books Harry Price went on to write, The Most Haunted House in England in 1940, and 1946, the erroneously named The End of Bawley Rectory. They were both bestsellers. Price went on to investigate the case for nearly 20 years, and when his research into this location was cut short by his own death, it signaled the beginning of other investigations by psychical researchers that was never really to end. The Bawley Rectory we know, the one you can see in blurry photos of Google Images and Usborne's book on haunted houses, was built by the Reverend Henry Bull in 1862 on the site of the earlier and supposedly equally haunted Herringham Rectory. Bawley Rectory, when it was built, thus became heir to many local legends that were already established. You see, when Bull and his family moved in, the old ghost of Herringham moved in with him, and long before the famed scientific investigations, the property produced many reported cases of ghost sightings from residents and locals alike. Three of Bull's daughters, whilst living at Bawley at the turn of the last century, reputedly saw the manifestation of a nun, and on another occasion, the phantom was spotted again by the family's cook. Two successive maidservants spotted similar apparitions, and a phantom light was also seen in a window. One resident of the village of Bawley, who lived near to the rectory from the time of her birth, went on to confess that when she'd been a little girl, her grandparents would never let her pass by the building after dark. Apparently, at least within the village, its reputation preceded it long before Harry Price first investigated the property. In June of 1929, the incumbent rector, one Reverend Eric Smith, wrote to the editor of the Daily Mirror asking for advice as to the best method of clearing the rectory of its bad local reputation as a haunted house. The oddness of this request, and the demands of a slow news day in the era when everyone got their news from the papers, saw visits from a reporter, and then from Harry Price himself. On his first visit, Price thought he saw a figure in the garden during an overnight vigil, and later a brick was thrown through the veranda's glass roof during his stay. These spectral figures and poltergeist activity proved irresistible to Price and the journalists he invited. A flurry of articles published in the paper brought crowds of sightseers to the rectory, and the situation developed rapidly and was soon out of control. Serious investigation became impossible under constant public scrutiny, and in any event, Harry Price had taken over the case completely and was even accused of restricting access to serious critics of the phenomena. Two visits were eventually paid by Lord Charles Hope, who later was a member of the Society of Psychical Researchers Council, in July 1929. He came away with a view that the events were not only explicable by normal means, but he also had the suspicion that Harry Price was responsible for at least some of them. Borley Rectory stood empty for 6 months after the Reverend Eric Smith left in 1930, until the Reverend Lionel Algernon Foister moved in that October. While the 5 years in which Foisters were in residence were unparalleled in the intensity of paranormal events, it was also in many respects the most controversial period for investigations. The phenomena witnessed by the Foister family and their visitors included crashing sounds, footsteps, bottle smashing, bell ringing, apparitions, smells, fires, and wall writings. Edwin Whitehouse, a frequent guest of the rectory, said that he had personally witnessed some of these events and was convinced that they were preternatural. The culmination of these sightings was the so-called Borley Report, which, however, cast suspicion on Marianne, the rector's young wife, as the source of much of the supposed phenomena. There was little doubt that Marianne was an unreliable witness, and her involvement significantly increased the notoriety of this case. Price himself was unimpressed by much of what he witnessed during his visits at the time of the Foisters, but he was nonetheless accused of keeping the myth of Borley going for his own personal publicity. It worked, public interest was maintained, and the Society for Psychical Research took up the challenge of this continued publicity until 1949, when Mrs. Eric Smith wrote to the Daily Mail to express her disbelief in the haunting of the rectory from the very beginning. A brief letter of the paper to her husband, written partly in jest, had produced one of the biggest ghost hunts in history. Undaunted by criticism and suspicion, Price rented the rectory himself for a year after the Foisters left, between May 1937 and May 1938. In a year-long effort experimental investigation, he moved in teams of observers recruited through the Times newspaper. During this period, over 70 people stayed at the rectory and on several occasions experienced apparent phenomena. Seances and planchette sessions were also held at the site during this period. One planchette communication of interest was from a dubious entity called Sunex Anaris, who predicted that the rectory would be gutted by fire at 9 o'clock that night. The participants also supposedly communicated with somebody called Mary Leray, who claimed that she was a nun, murdered at Borley on 17th of May 1667, and that her remains lay buried under the building. When the rectory was indeed damaged by fire in February 1939, and again more completely in 1943, the fragments of a skull and jawbone were discovered in the cellar floor, both giving credence to the information conveyed during these sessions. Following the end of the Price tenancy in 1938, the rectory was sold to a Captain Gregson, who was in tenancy until the time that the rectory burnt down. The destruction of the rectory, however, did not put an end to the story of the haunt, nor the popular interest in Borley Rectory. With no physical remains of the rectory left to investigate, a new breed of researchers turned to re-examining the testimony and background of the original witnesses. The first production of this new breed of researchers was a skeptical book called The Haunting of Borley Rectory in 1956 by E.J. Dingwall, K. Goldney, and T. Hall. This study was severely critical of Harry Price, his methods, and his treatment of incidents at the rectory, and this account of the evidence of abnormal happenings, what Price described as the most haunted house in England. Their general conclusion was that credulity, bad investigation, trickery, and fraud account for the great bulk of the recorded evidence. Criticism has also been directed against the Society for Psychical Research for having so long delayed an inquiry into Borley Rectory. Harry Price died in 1948, but his literary executor, Paul Tabori, gave facilities to the investigators to examine his files and correspondence in the Harry Price Library. A large part of the case against Harry Price came from his own writings and papers, And particularly damning was the discovery that a photograph published in Life magazine of a brick apparently hovering mid-air on the rectory site was a hoax, set up as the building was being demolished. This photo had been passed off by Price as a genuine manifestation. Since then, attention has focused on the lives of some of Borley Rectory's colourful inhabitants, and the question as to what extent phenomena was helped along by trickery and self-deception. Elaborate theories have been debated back and forth in books and articles on the case, and some maintain that the haunting is now transferred to the nearby church, but the existence of a large crypt prone to flooding, which was found beneath the building in 1988, may account for many of the strange noises and structural problems that have been heard and felt there. Assessing any final truth about Borley Rectory is difficult amid the wealth of claims and counterclaims. Any final verdict necessarily rests upon the view taken as to the reliability of human testimony. Nonetheless, an arguable case can be made for Borley Rectory being haunted both before and after the periods in which Price was involved. However, regardless of whether the legend of Borley is factual or fictional, does little to detract from its lasting history.